Right, once again, here is Sylvia Brown. And by the way, we have links to Sylvia Brown's books where you find them certainly at Amazon.com. And I would imagine Sylvia bookstores all across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also have another book coming out by Dutton. It's called, The Other Side and Back.
The Other Side and Back.
Mm-hmm, The Psychic's Guide to the World, Our World and Beyond.
Well,
be out in August.
While we're on, wonderful. While we're on the subject, Sylvia, I have pondered for so long what a ghost is. Now, if the afterlife is as you imagine, then what exactly is a ghost? Is it a here's what I'm wondering, choosing between and
a spirit and a ghost.
Well, In other words,
a ghost is usually a malcontent. In other words, it's
malcontent.
Somebody who hasn't made the transition and doesn't know they're dead.
Does not know they're dead.
No. But a spirit is usually someone who's made the transition and can come back and speak to a loved one and say, I really made it and whatever. But they're not the ghostly phantasms that, you know, that you have to go to somebody's house and say, please, would you just please go, because go towards the light because you're dead.
Mm.
They're the ones that are just really confused. It can come from, here we go again with the suicide, or it can be somebody who had a trauma death, or any number of reasons, or it can be very, let's say, mentally deranged when they go, and that carries over with them, and they really just don't know that they're gone. Eventually.
Interesting.
Some angel guide relative will come and get them, but they really can create a lot of havoc. I mean, they don't throw you down the stairs.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping it wasn't. There seem to be two flavors of ghost. One is what appears to be some, if it's true, poor tortured soul who's every night, or almost every night, or maybe all the time, repeating some tape loop kind of an activity, a final activity or some activity related to their death or some unfinished
task.
Yeah,
on a circular rail that just goes round and round.
Round and round and round. And then there's the poltergeist version that seems to do physical things and seems a lot more unstructured. And so, boy, that would be kind of a hell, wouldn't it, if you died in a fire and you just had to go through dying in that fire every day or something?
Yeah, and constantly repeating that same, a scenario over and over again. It's many of the ghosts that I've talked to, which sounds kind of strange, is that they really are angry with the people because it's their domain and they want to know what the heck they're doing there. And then you have to explain to them, no, you died in 1888 or whatever. You know, and it always helps when you can address them by name, because at least they know you're talking to them logically.
All right, well, you do something that Danion also does. Danion, after his experiences, he was a real rat when he was younger, and now he's only a little rat since his experience. But what he does do is where the rubber meets the road, every single day, just nearly every day, he's at a hospice helping a veteran or somebody die. He stays there until the very end, and I know that you're doing that kind of work with AIDS patients.
Yeah, all patients, but particularly AIDS.
Particularly AIDS. Why?
Because I think that those are the people that have been, I guess it's the humanitarian thing, that have been shunned, or that nobody, or people are so afraid. It's still the stigma, and it breaks my heart, because some of those are probably the loneliest people. And nobody wants to be around them. There's more and more, because as we educate people, see, that's the big thing in this world that I've always raged against, is the ignorance of, you know, like I say to people, read everything, study everything, and then make your decisions. Don't just take one thing. But I think it's because they're the forgotten group, and they need so much love, because society has shunned them so much and made them feel so horrible, and that they're such lepers. You know, I think it's very much akin to what the lepers used to go through.
So what do you say to them, Sylvia?
I tell them that God loves them. I tell them that they have, you know, that they go to the light, that the white light of the Holy Spirit is around them, the Christ consciousness is with them, that God is an all-loving God, And then, like one I just did not very long ago.
And that they're not going to hell for being gay or having AIDS.
That's right. And I, this one I never will forget. It happened not very long ago. And he said, Sylvia, it was so sweet. He said, how do I do this? And I knew that he had, you know, he liked to fly. And I said, well, you know how when you fly, you lift off. And I said, just take three deep breaths and just lift out. And it was so wonderful because I saw him do three quick deep breaths and then that was it. He just lifted right out.
Wow.
See, we have all this big folderol about people coming in. Not that I don't love birth, because I've seen my grandchildren and everything born. I think it's a miracle. It's wonderful. It's God's hand working, but the forgotten group is the death. You know, we don't want to face that. We don't want to look at it. We shun that. We say, oh, I don't want to touch that.
You're exactly right.
And
Exactly right. Sylvia, with veterans. They die so lonely.
That's right. And it's really what it should be. It's a celebration. It's a graduation from life. It should be a time of rejoicing, not just from the grief. I mean, that's always hard because grief is always selfish, you know. Damn it, I know you're happy, but here I am.
Dan said to me, why don't you come with me when I do this? And in fact, why don't you learn how to do it and do it yourself? And I said, Dan, I don't think I can do that. And I honestly, Dan can go to these people and he can say, look, I've been there. I've been dead. I'm no more scared of death than I am of taxes.
That's right.
And believe me, he's not scared of taxes. So he could say that to them, but I couldn't say that to them, Sylvia. I've never been there. I've never had this experience. I'm not so sure that I could sit and counsel a person about to take their last breath and tell them that they're not, that there's not a chance they may not exist on the last breath. And so,
right, and that's why I think you shouldn't do it, because you see, that just shows that
right.
You would not be a hypocrite to do that.
Right.
I think you have to have done it. I did it when I was 42, and I did have a death experience, and it was so marvelous because of all the years that I had done and knew what I had known and believed it totally. It was so much more, let's say, enthralling and truthful when I finally went through it myself. It was like, I'll be damned, it is all true. Not that I ever doubted it, but it's like, you know something's hot, but when you touch it, you really know it's hot.
Now, I'll tell you this. I sure would like to have somebody like you at my bedside if I was about to draw my last breath, telling me those things.
Yeah.
I just know that I can't be that person. We've got a lot of people that want to talk to you, Sylvia, so let's see what we bump into out there
right.
In the ether. First time caller line, you're on the air with Sylvia Brown. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you, dear?
I'm in Alaska.
Alaska, and far away, and you're going to have to really yell at us. Get right into that phone.
Okay.
That's much better.
Okay. I have a question for Sylvia, kind of talking about the contract that we make for life.
Yes.
And you talked about there was times, and I think in everybody's life, when it just is really, really hard.
Oh, it's terribly hard.
And I've seen you talk before about everybody having their own guardian angel.
That's right.
To help you out. And
yes.
I was wondering if you could explain how you could reach that guardian angel and get that help when you...
Well, you know, it really isn't that hard. I think everybody makes everything so hard, whether it's religion or whatever. I've always believed that the road to spirituality is love God, do good, and then shut up and go home. The same thing with the guide. Just say to, you know, the guide, I know that you're there. You know, it's very much like the old prayer, you know, angel of God, my guardian dear, you know, the Catholic prayer. Just say, look, I say, when I'm in trouble, get your tail in here. I say to God, anybody that's not busy, get them in here. But everyone has their own special angel as well as a guide who has lived a life on earth that did make a contract with you before you came down. It would be no different than if Art and I were standing on the other side and Art said, Sylvia, I've got to go down into that hellhole again. And would you watch out for me? And I said, you got it. So Art comes down and then I'm his guide. But then aside from that, there's a different phylum of angels, which never have to come to earth and live life. But they're beautiful beings that protect us.
Yes.
Does that help?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Sylvia Brown and Art Bell. Good morning. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Sylvia, I got a question for you. I have a 5-year-old daughter that constantly talks about seeing bright little dots that she sees.
The little round circles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She says they're like purple.
Yes.
And white.
And white, yeah.
And then when they wake her up in the middle of the night, it's a real bright light that gives her, it hurts her eyes and sometimes gives her a headache.
Mm-hmm.
But she also always talks about these little beads of light that once in a while she'll see, and then she says it gives me a headache.
And I can't tell you how many children have said that to me, or even people that are sick or older or whatever. It just means that your daughter really has the gift of seeing this. This is her angels around, and many times that's why I said they come in these circles of light.
Wow. Wow, and I'm going to say wow because on my website I've got another guest who has been doing crop circle work in England. He spent this whole last season in crop circles, and they took several photographs, Sylvia, which show these sometimes translucent small balls of light.
Light.
And sometimes they're almost solid, if not solid.
Exactly.
And they're all over these photographs, and I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I sat examining the photos, trying to figure out what it could be, and there was simply no answer. People said it was reflecting off the snow. Well, the grass was green, and there was no snow.
No.
So I've seen it, but not with my own eyes. I've seen it in a photograph.
Mm-hmm. But they do. They come in balls of light, and then a lot of times the ball will begin to elongate or go horizontal and then begin to take a form, or sometimes never. See, everything is energy. Everything is in matter is energy, and how they seem to cross over this dimension is light. I mean, you know, it's sort of like Einstein's theory.
Well, there is no arguing the fact that we are energy, and there is no arguing the fact that energy cannot cease to exist.
Exactly.
That part we can be darn sure of.
That's right.
At least that much. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sylvia Brown and Art Bell. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you, sir?
I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
Sylvia, good morning.
Good morning.
What if you've entered into a contract? And
what kind of contract, sir?
When you were in your depth of despair and you wanted something so much, the only person that you could call upon was Lucifer, and you've entered in that contract.
Oh, that kind of a contract. Oh, my.
And you were granted your wish. And it was exactly what it was, your wish. With closed ends, you got exactly what you wanted. And now you're so unhappy. And you're afraid to die because you know what the outcome will be.
Well, yeah, I know, and I've heard this before, too. It's sort of like the devil in Daniel Webster, you know. There is, don't get me wrong when I say that I do not believe that there are negative forces in this world. I mean, I really do, because for good, you have to have negative. But I wouldn't be so concerned that whether you made the contract or whatever, and you entered into a contract with, let's say, Scratch, Beelzebub, or whatever, that still doesn't mean that it wasn't within the contract that you wouldn't have done that and then come to the light. You see what I mean? Because there's no such thing as God condemning you for some silly contract that you might have made that you were probably going to get anyway.
Really?
Yes.
Caller, thank you. Sylvia, a person I have frequently interviewed is Father Malachi Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Know who he is?
Oh, yes. Hostage to the devil.
Yes. He writes a lot about the Vatican, but he also writes a lot about exorcism because
right.
he is, if there is a real exorcist.
Oh, and I've done exorcism.
He's the fellow. He really does that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in battles for his life doing exorcisms.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know the part that I love the most that he said? He said, I think why I've battled it so hard is because I probably have never developed the emotional side of myself, which I thought was quite amazing that he said that.
Interesting. Now, I've not heard him say that, but what he has said is that, Art, there are people, maybe like this last caller, that are perfectly possessed. And by that he meant they have made some kind of mental deal with the negative force to be given what they want in this life. He said they are the rich, they are the famous, they are the politicians who have been elected, they are people that you pass on the street. He said you can pass one on the street and you can feel it and know it when you're in their presence. What do you say?
But see, now he's talking about what we call the dark side of things, because there are such a thing as dark entities. I don't mean color. I mean people that did separate from the light, not just one Lucifer. But you see, the caller that we had just a moment ago, if he was not a good person, he would never have called in and even been afraid. Do you see what I mean?
He was a scared person.
Absolutely.
Scared.
Which shows that there is a soul there that's crying out in torment for something that he feels that he's done that was wrong.
It was probably
we go back to the all-forgiving, all-loving God.
It could have been anything. It could have been no doubt something serious. I mean, he may have been absolutely broke. He
right.
may have lost somebody he
loved.
Or a loved
one, or whatever.
Something of that magnitude, and he may have said, look, I'll sell my soul to do this.
Right.
And then somehow it turned out that
He got it.
So...
But see, I know for a fact he would have gotten it anyway. Because that was in his chart to get it, no matter how amazing he might think it is. The thing that I take exception to is we give the devil so much power and not enough to God. I mean, I'd much rather we diminish this devil to be a little tiny person and have a great big God. Because, you see, if you ever noticed... And this is so simplistic, but it's true.
Hold the thought.
Great emotions can't occupy the mind at the same time. If you have fear, you can't have love.
All right, good. Hold it right there. We'll be right back. We are at the half-hour point. Sylvia Brown is my guest. And if you wanted to know about Sylvia Brown, tonight you're finding out. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. I will catch you. I'll be waiting.